Welcome to the Kindness Podcast. I'm Nicole Phillips. Sean Nelligan taught those around him simple but important lessons to be happy, accepting, and have a pure love of life. Inspired by his son's sudden passing on Father's Day of 2019, Sean's father, TJ, wrote a book, Live Like Sean, Important Life Lessons from My Special Needs Son, that further illustrates the impact Sean made and his lasting legacy. So I need to tell you about a really special man. His name is Sean Nelligan. And Sean was one of those people whose light shone very, very brightly while he was here on the earth and was able to make an immense lasting change in a lot of different ways. But I think the best person to tell you about some of that lasting change that Sean made in his life is his dad, TJ Nelligan, who has just written a book about his son, Sean, called Live Like Sean. So please welcome to the Kindness Podcast, TJ Nelligan. Hi, TJ.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for talking with me today. You know, I'd like to just start kind of pre-Sean and give people an idea of who you are, because you ran this marketing company. You've done tons of sports marketing, all kinds of really big things. Can you talk about your professional life before we get into your life as a father?
So I worked in college sports for over 25 years. I sold all the sponsorships for the NCAA Final Four and all the NCAA championships. Worked for a guy named Jim Host from Host Communications for 10 years. And then I went off on my own and started Nelligan Sports Marketing. We had about 50 or 60 different schools. Sean actually worked for Nelligan Sports Marketing after he got out of school with his best friend, Bobby. And they were in charge of accounts receivable. Every Monday, they come in and put all the thousands of bills in envelopes and mail them off to the sponsors. Went to all the sporting events. And I did that for 15 years. And then I sold it to one of my competitors in 2004 to the dismay of Sean, because he loved his job. But it was the right thing to do at the time, even though it was very difficult. It's like selling one of your babies.
Yeah.
You know, it was like my little child, Nelligan Sports Marketing. We had a great run, 15 years, lots of employees. Everybody did well. And then we went on to the Special Olympics USA Games in the summer of 2014.
So this is where it gets really interesting to me, because you went from this massive for-profit to the Special Olympics is considered a nonprofit, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I'm wondering if Sean had something to do with that decision.
Well, you have to back up to the beginning. When we left the hospital in 1990, they told us we took home a perfectly healthy baby boy. And things started to unravel over the next 2 years. Mm-hmm. About 2 years in, a friend of mine said, you should go see this neurologist. He's the world's foremost pediatric neurologist. He wrote all the textbooks that students read to become neurologists. So we went to see him when Sean was about two and a half years old at his home office in Englewood, New Jersey, because we lived in Moffitt, New Jersey at the time. And he examined Sean for about an hour. And then my mother stayed with Sean in the waiting room. And Sean's mom, Maggie, my wife, and I went into his room. And I saw all these books and diplomas. And it made me nothing but scared, because I said, whatever this guy says, I'm going to have to believe. And I'm sure he is not going to give me good news. So he went on and he told me and Sean's mom, Maggie, that Sean would never live a normal life. He would probably never go to college. He would never hold a job. He would never fit in mainstream society. And he would have all these tough times ahead, and life is going to be very difficult. And he said he'll never be normal. And looking back on that, I always said he wasn't normal. He was exceptional. Mm-hmm. And when you look back now, you know, you look at the child you thought you were going to have and you mourn that child, because you say, well, he's never going to be the starting pitcher of his baseball team. He's never going to go to the prom. He's never going to do this. He's never going to do that. And then I realized, as time went by and you started to see what he could do, that those weren't his shattered dreams. Those were my shattered dreams. He seemed perfectly happy to be alive. He's the happiest, kindest human being I've ever met in my life. My daughters always say that he was an angel on earth. And we knew before, you know, as time went by, when he went from 5 years old to 6 years old, a friend of mine said, you should check out Special Olympics. So I went to the summer games at the College of New Jersey in 1994. And I walked around with Sean and I saw all these people cheering and happy and running races and doing things. And I said, wow, Sean can be an athlete. So I joined the board in 1995 and served on the Special Olympics New Jersey board from 95 through 2011. And then the Special Olympics USA board, we started in 2011. And I did that through 2014. So that was about 25 years. And as Sean got involved in sports, he got friends, you know, he started to, you know, play basketball and soccer and bocce and all different sports. And he didn't really care about the sports, although he was pretty good at basketball. He cared more about the friends and high-fiving, and he was the team's biggest cheerleader. I remember one time I said, Sean, that guy's smaller than you. You have to block his shot. And he looked at me and he said, Dad, that's not nice. He didn't like defense. He didn't play defense. He just liked to shoot.
He and I would get along well. I'm married to a college basketball coach, and you know, he'll make funny faces from the sideline, and I'll say, that's not nice. He goes, this isn't nice. This is, you know, we're doing something here. This is competition. Right. Oh, so TJ, so carry on with your story and how you then ended up taking on a bigger role.
Well, so as he got older and older, he started to be able to do more things. He couldn't ride a two-wheel bike, so we got him a three-wheel bike, and he was perfectly happy. I always called him the mayor because as he got older, he'd walk in any room, and he knew that my friends were his friends, and his friends, you know, were my friends. And we went to sporting events, Giants games, Rutgers games, Yankee games. He'd never leave his seat. He met more famous athletes than probably anybody out there, and he treated them all the same. I mean, he didn't know the difference between, you know, the doorman in my building or meeting Derek Jeter. They were all the same as long as they were kind to him. Mm-hmm. And I never forget this one story, which is in my book. We went to St. Thomas as an extended family. My his grandparents, my parents, his sisters, his mother, and a whole bunch of other people to St. Thomas in 2004. And at that time, Sean was 14 and he'd wake up at 5 a.m. I said, all right, I'll take him down. We went down, found a bagel, orange juice, and we go down and we sit at the pool at the Marriott in St. Thomas. And of course, there's nobody at the pool at 5 a.m. on vacation. But one guy is swimming in the pool. And this guy's swimming back and forth. He has no legs and he has one arm. And he's swimming back and forth, and Sean is mesmerized watching this guy. And as he goes to get out of the pool, he grabs the metal bar, shimmies himself up into his wheelchair by himself, and Sean yells at him, hey, buddy, you're a good swimmer. And he looks at us, and he wheels over to us, and I realize it's Senator Max Cleland from Georgia. You know, he's a decorated war hero from Vietnam. He won the Silver Star. He won the Bronze Star. Sean has no idea who he is. So he wheels over, and he says, how are you doing, buddy? Sean says, good. I'm Sean. He goes, oh, I'm Max. And they talk for a few minutes about who knows what. I don't remember. And all of a sudden, Sean goes, oh, Max, this is my dad, TJ. He goes, hi, TJ. And I said, hello, Senator Cleland. And he got a big, broad smile, like I wanted him to know, I know who you are. And so they talk for a few minutes. And all of a sudden, Sean looks at him with a sad face and says, Max, what happened to your legs? And I was like, oh, I wish I was on Star Trek. Beam me up, Scotty. I just wanted to disappear. Like, oh, my goodness. So he says they got blown up in the war, Sean. War's a bad thing. And he goes, ah, oh, sorry, Max. So then Max says, Sean, can you wheel me up to the elevator, buddy? Not that he needed any help, clearly. So he made Sean feel really important. He wheels him up. And I forget all about this experience all day long. I didn't tell anybody because I forgot. That night, we're in the lobby ready to go to dinner with the whole family. And I see Max Cleland being wheeled off the elevator with three aides around him. He's got a suit and tie on him in the wheelchair. And all of a sudden, I see him look over here, and he sees Sean, and he hits the guy wheeling him and says, go over there. And all of a sudden, he's being wheeled straight toward our group across the lobby. And my father hits me and goes, isn't that Senator Cleland from Georgia? I said, yep. And he has no idea what's going to come next. So he wheels up, and he goes, how's my buddy Sean doing? And everyone's looking in disbelief that Sean knows a powerful U.S. senator and a war hero. So they chat amongst themselves, and Sean says, this is my grandma, my grandpa, my sisters, my mom. And they talk for a little while with everybody, and he leaves. And then we turn around, and the line for the cabs is huge. And we start walking over there, and one of the car valets walks into the lobby and says, Sean, and gives him one of these. And he says, how many you got, buddy? I don't know, all these people. So this valet yells to the other valet, put two van cabs on the side for Sean. And my father says, now I've seen it all. This is a special needs child. He's the most powerful guy in the family. And he didn't make the difference. And that's the point in the book, that whether the person was a king or a pauper, he treated them all with kindness, as long as they were kind to him. And that's why we always said that, you know, Sean was the most friendly, kindest person that taught all of us in the family what unconditional love really means.
Mm. Wow. We have a couple of people who want to say hi. The first is Lisa. She says, hi, TJ.
Hi, Lisa. We went to high school together.
Oh, that's fun. Isn't that so interesting how that works? And Morgan says, live like Sean.
Hey.
So you have two daughters as well. Is that right?
I have two daughters, Maura and Megan.
Okay.
And, you know, they both have always said for the last 15 years that Sean was an angel on earth. And my one daughter spoke at her high school graduation, and I cried listening to her speech because she talked all about how Sean taught us. We thought we'd have to protect Sean. We'd have to teach Sean about life. And it turns out, the story ends, that he taught us more about life than we could have ever taught him. Mm-hmm. You know, he taught us to be grateful. Now, he couldn't spell grateful. It just came naturally. And he was the happiest person you ever met. Every day he'd get out of bed and say, it's going to be a great day. And he's famous for his bear hugs. He'd give you a bear hug and wouldn't let go, you know, for a full minute at least.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I had a friend named Michael who would come up and at basketball games, and he would just wrap me in the best hug, and he would hold on so tightly for so long. And his parents would be like, leave Nicole alone. And I was like, no, don't leave Nicole alone. Like, are you kidding? We don't hug like this in real life. Like, this is so amazing. And so when you talk about Sean's bear hugs, I can feel Michael's bear hugs as well. And we, you know, Michael has since passed. And I know that it was Father's Day of 2019 when Sean passed. Was that something that your family had expected?
No, it was very unexpected. He had a seizure disorder, but he hadn't had a seizure for 15 or 18 years. And I was at the beach with him, and I found him in the morning, and he passed away. But the night before, we watched the Yankee game, and the Yankees won, and they went into first place. And his bedtime ritual was always to, he ran in, put his pajamas on, he comes back out, he gives me a giant bear hug, and he says, you're a good dad, I love you. Am I a good son? And I say, you're the best in the world. And those are the last words we ever spoke.
Those are good words. So Eileen is also joining, and she says, hi, TJ, we love hearing stories of Sean and are so proud of you.
That's my sister.
Oh, awesome.
What's funny is that at the end of, well, when I was writing his eulogy, I was writing down all these little stories about Sean, and I came up with the line, live like Sean. Not when it's easy, not when it's convenient, but every day. Mm-hmm. And we mere mortals, it's a lot harder than it was for Sean. It just came natural to him to be kind, to be funny. He was kind before Ellen made it cool.
Speaking of Ellen, I think she should have you on and talk about your new book, right?
We're talking.
So Caleb says, I'm friends with your sister's family. Connor has been one of my brother Noah's best friends through life. Their friendship is so beautiful. Noah had Down syndrome, and I know Sean helped shape Connor into the great man he is. So.
That's very nice.
Mm-hmm. And Eileen says she's watching with Kelly. And let's see. Ryan Nelligan says, love you, TJ.
Love you, Ryan.
And here's more information for people to learn about TJ and Sean's story. But I can't be done with you yet. I need you to talk about how you got to from the point where you had to say goodbye to Sean to the point where you said, I have to share these lessons with others.
Well, the irony is I had no intention of ever writing a book. And when I wrote down and came up with Live Like Sean and I gave his eulogy at the Park Avenue Club in Morristown, New Jersey, there was almost 1,000 people in the room. Special Olympics sent the color guard, which was all Special Olympics athletes, the bagpipers. And I gave his eulogy, and then his sisters, Maura and Megan, were beautiful in what they had to say about Sean. And then his mom, Maggie, talked at the end. But after I gave my eulogy and after it was all over, a good friend of mine who's on television in New Jersey, Steve Adubato, comes up to me and he goes, T, that eulogy was awesome. He hugs me and he goes, that's the outline for your book, Live Like Sean.
Oh.
And I said, are you crazy? So he said, no, you have to do this. And then he called me up and he gave me the name of Teresa DiGeronimo, who's my co-writer, who's written 50 different books, helped people write 50 different books, including four of Steve's. So I went and met with her and then I started writing, and it started out that, maybe we'll print 200 books and we'll give them to family and friends and Special Olympics athletes and teammates and coaches and all of that. And then it just started to take on a life of its own.
Mm-hmm. It's too important of a story to not share, especially right now. Don't you feel like we're all hungry for somebody who will just look at us as if we matter? And it doesn't matter if we're the doorman or, you know, or the senator.
Right. I always said, even during all the things I did for Special Olympics, Steve had me on once and said, wow, are you a nice guy? Why did you donate all this time over 15, 25 years of Special Olympics? And I said, I didn't choose to be nice. I didn't choose to be involved in Special Olympics. It chose me through Sean. Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing today. This isn't my book. This is Sean's book. I'm just the messenger still. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to tell his message everywhere, because not only for special needs families, because it doesn't happen overnight, but there comes a day when you don't see the disabilities anymore and you can only see what they can do. Mm-hmm. Because when you look at the world through their eyes instead of your eyes, you're not disappointed. You're happy and you're joyful because you see the smile on his face. He doesn't know what he can't do. He only knows what he can do. And he is so persistent at maximizing those abilities. It's inspirational. And this book will be able to be his legacy and help so many people. And the book is not just for, you know, special needs families. This book is for anyone, mm-hmm. because they're life lessons we can all learn.
I think it would be a great one to read as a family with, you know, I have teenagers and a 10-year-old, and I feel like being able to read that with them and be able to have a great conversation as a family about that would also be really good. I have to say, TJ, though, I do a lot of these kindness podcast live things. And I have never in the history of doing this. And I know you said this is like your first, like you're a newbie, you know.
This is my first one.
Yeah. I have never, ever had the amount of chat during an interview as I have right now. And I just need to show you. I mean, obviously, Sean made a difference in people's lives. And obviously, he became friends with everyone, whether you were friends with them or not. But now they love you because they love Sean. I don't know. But Sheila says, we miss Sean so much. I was the luckiest human to be his godmother. Karen says, hi, TJ. I'm a friend of Sheila's. I've heard a lot about Sean from Sheila. My daughter, Brooke, plays unified bocce for Union High School. She gets so much enjoyment from being part of the team. Win or lose, we are anxious to read your book together. He is a true inspiration. I wish Brooke could have met him. She acts like he is her best friend. Sheila and I agree. They probably would have the best of friends. Can't wait to read your book.
That's sweet. Thank you very much.
And Joe says, TJ, Joe Santa, can't wait for the book and to see everyone again.
That's Joe St. Nick. He plays Santa.
I love that. Everybody needs to know Santa. Richard says, hey, TJ, I'm Richard, a friend of Terry's in Richmond. I love hearing about Sean from her over the years and now directly from you. Thank you for sharing his story. So you can see the impact that this is making. I hope you can see that and understand, like, this is so much bigger than you. And one of the things that I just love so much about the kindness of Sean and what you've given the Special Olympics is it seems to me that had Sean never been born, you would not have gotten involved in the Special Olympics. And then the way that you have helped that program grow is just rippling and rippling and rippling to this huge act of kindness that to me is just, it's really breathtaking. It's really immense the way that one person's life and then you willing to be a conduit for his passions, we're able to take that. And so thank you for that kindness. It's so immense. It's so amazing.
Well, he changed everybody's lives, including all his cousins. His cousins have volunteered for Best Buddies, Special Olympics, World Games. They started Unified Track Team down in Virginia, and on and on and on. So he's changed everybody's life for the better. And this is his legacy. And this book will hopefully change a lot of other people's lives, and it'll be here for generations to come for the next wave of our family.
Yeah. Andrew Duke says, Sean is with you, TJ, today and smiling. And I'm going to go ahead and put up your website for people, tjnelligan.com. And then the other thing that I want to say that I think is so interesting is this book is so new, you don't even have a copy of it in your hands.
I don't have a copy in my hands yet, but it's been shipped to me, so I should have a few of them soon. And then it'll be in, right now you can pre-order the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, and they'll ship out on January 19th. And January 19th, they'll be in bookstores, which I can't believe that either. I'm going to have to walk in just to see it.
Yes, yes, you are. It's going to be surreal. Make sure that you take pictures of that moment.
Yeah, what and else? Then we have a Facebook, TJ Nelligan Author Facebook, and at TJ Nelligan Twitter. And tjnelligan.com.
You're everywhere. Anything else that you want to share?
No, just that I think that obviously Sean changed my life immensely. I would have been a completely different person if Sean didn't come into my life. And I always said, you know, and his mom, Maggie, and his sisters, Maura and Megan, always said that we were the perfect family for Sean, and he was the perfect child for us. And you don't see that in the beginning. For people that, you know, have a smaller child that has disabilities, it takes time. But eventually, they will bring so much joy to your life and change your life for the better.
Thank you for offering those words of hope and encouragement to people. It's what we love to do on the Kindness Podcast. And thank you for your kindness today, TJ, and the kindness you're putting out into the world with this book.
Well, thank you for having me, Nicole. I appreciate it very much.
My pleasure. That was a conversation with TJ Nelligan. You can connect with TJ and learn more about his book, Live Like Sean, at tjnelligan.com. Thanks for listening to the Kindness Podcast. It's produced by WOUB Public Media and relies heavily on the kindness of engineer Adam Rich. I'm Nicole Phillips. We hope you'll subscribe to the Kindness Podcast wherever you listen and find us on social media at Kindness Podcast. If you like the show, please spread some kindness in the review section. And check out my new book, The Negativity Remedy, now available in stores.